Let's talk a little bit more about sacred geometry.
Okay. Let's see. I'd love to give some credit to Michael Schneider and his book titled A Beginner's Guide to Constructing the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I found this later in my journey of sacred geometry, and it's really great because he single-handedly put together a text that weaves together so many disciplines that were once taught under the same umbrella. And he's also gathered an astonishing amount of quotes, and some of which I'd like to read a bit of. But, you know, Schneider has done exactly for the literary world what I plan to do for the documentary world. And he's translated these sacred geometry teachings into everyday experience.
Hmm.
And, you know, really, you don't have to be a mathematician to understand this stuff. You don't have to be a philosopher or an intellect. These are simple yet profound concepts that just require an open mind and an open heart.
Can you give us an example or two?
Yeah, these are fundamental aspects to nature and to design, to art and to poetry, to music and to color. You know, things that affect us on all levels, every minute of every day. And, you know, like many sacred things, you have to know where to look and how to look. But once you do, it's very apparent and it's there. And I'd like to just read a short excerpt from the introduction, because the way that Michael Schneider talks about this, I think, will ring true for a lot of people. So he says that math was dry and mechanical and had little relevance to my world. If we had looked at numbers to see how they behave with each other in wonderful patterns, I might have liked math. Had I been shown how numbers and shapes relate to the world of nature, I would have been thrilled. Instead, I was dulled by math anxiety and pop quizzes. Fortunately for me, when I was 16, one of my teachers mentioned that mathematics can be found in nature. A six-sided snowflake is shaped like a bee's cell and quartz crystal. I was stunned to make the connection. How could something as apparently irrelevant as mathematics be related to something as wonderful as nature? The ordinary world opened up to me and spoke the language of number and shape. No longer a foe, the dreaded mathematics became at once a teacher and a tool. Nature wasn't what it was made out to be, an antagonist to fear, conquer, and exploit, but a garden of wonder and a patient teacher worthy of great respect.
Hmm. Ain't it the truth?
And it's absolutely amazing to me, because I think so many people have had this feeling of, you know, math or geometry, and you know, you hated your class and it was pop quizzes and it was all these things that are not fun. But when you see the connection and all of the levels that are written in the language of mathematics, and you see its characters are triangles and circles and other geometrical figures, you know, where when you understand them, you're able to understand it. And I believe it was Galileo who wrote that, you know, without these teachings, without comprehending the language and interpreting these characters, it's like wandering about in a dark labyrinth. And, you know, it's really, sacred geometry, simply put, is about the language between numbers and shapes, and then these numbers and shapes are then the building blocks of our universe. So instead of thinking of numbers as we have been taught in school, we should rather think about the shapes and patterns that these numbers represent. So every number has a distinct quality and a personality, if you will. And that personality relates to the other numbers and the other forms that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, instead of thinking about a 3, just like a 3, we can think about a 3 as having a 3-ness. And then it's this 3-ness and the triangle that it forms and the union that it represents that relates and talks to all the other 3-nesses out there.
Hmm.
So when we look at numbers as having distinct qualities, and we begin to see that these numbers represent something more than just a value, it's like a personality, and it's a code that's just waiting to be transcribed. So it's absolutely amazing when you look at the world's, the religious art, the architecture, how all of these things have been designed using these timeless symbols and these patterns of nature, the cycles that we talked about before, the numbers, and it's remains, as Schneider says, it's symbolic of our own sacred inner realm. So these symbolic structures of awareness open up these ideas of these archetypal numbers that are, you know, as above, so below, that are so within, as without. You understand these levels, and in ancient times, these concepts were deemed so important that it was built into the culture on every level. So you have the ancient idea of the sacred, which is has a particular significance that's involved in consciousness and awareness. And then you have the word geometry, which stems from geo, which means earth, and you have metria, which means measure.
Mm-hmm.
So we have sacred geometry together, and we find science and spirituality, which are hand in hand. So here then we have a consciousness approach in looking at the measure of the earth. Now, it's kind of funny because we can take that even further because the earth is just one of the celestial bodies that are in the universe. So it's pretty, geocentric of us to only talk about the earth. So, we should probably say something like the sacred universe teachings, or something like that. I mean, who really knows? I struggle with the name all the time because words are pretty limiting. But I know that when I finish the documentary that the name will make itself known.
Mm.
But, you have like modern thinkers like Joseph Campbell and Houston Smith. They call these studies the perennial philosophy.
Sure.
Or the primordial tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not surprising that geometry is one of the oldest sciences that we have today. So it's really interesting. And the concept of math itself, it doesn't carry with it the same respect that it used to. For the Greeks, geometry was held in the highest honor.
Sure.
It was, none were more illustrious than the mathematicians,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pythagoras is one of the famous Greek philosophers we hear about, and his advanced students were called mathematokai. And that meant those who studied all.
Pythagoras talked about music as well. And related some of these concepts to music. I've got a friend of mine who's in the studio who's a musician. Plays a lot of different styles, but maybe you could relate a little bit about that if you're familiar.
Yeah, well, his students were engaged in deep studies of natural science and of self-understanding. And through the natural science, the music, and the self-understanding, they're able to understand all the levels of, what they were considered, those who studied all. So there's so many levels to the notes that are tied into the letters, that are tied into the numbers, that are tied into the frequency, that are tied into certain colors. So there's a whole slew of things that are tuned in to maybe one note of a musical scale, and then you have that number that ties into all the other numbers. So it's absolutely fascinating when you see the deeper level that math can provide. And I didn't even like math in high school. It wasn't something that I was really excited about. But now that I see these levels here, it's so exciting, And I mean, I didn't know that in Old English, the word Mathian meant to be aware. I mean, you tell that to a high school kid and it's like, oh, well, going to class and it's all about being aware, Unfortunately, it's not really quite like that anymore. But even an old German word, Munden, that meant to awaken, So unfortunately, the word math, we hardly think of it as being symbolic of anything, other than boring.
Hmm.
I
have a degree in mathematics.
You do?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Actually. That was what I have, a bachelor's of science in mathematics and a degree in physics. But I actually felt the same way about math as most people. I was never really excited about it. I did it because it seemed like a reasonable way to get a decent paycheck without getting an engineering degree and that sort of thing. But later in my own life, after I was out of school and that, and I got interested in some of these side stories, very similar to what you're talking about, that I realized very closely to what you're realizing is that, wow, mathematics is a language of God in a certain way, and the more you learn about the way it's represented in nature, the more comfortable you can become with it. Sure.
Yeah, and if I would have been taught anything, you know, remotely close to what I've learned in the last 4 years, you know, I might have paid better attention, you know.
No doubt, yeah.
I think it's a bummer that it's been stripped of its noble qualities, and, you know, hopefully we can get back to that someday, and all of our ancient cultures are reminding us of that, you know. So it's, you know, it's not a wonder that we have all these amazing thinkers that we're taught about, you know, but at the same time, we don't really realize the depth of information that they're going into.
It's really true. It's really true. Our ancestors were wise way beyond our years, that's for sure, and we don't look back at their teachings with enough intensity, I don't think, at least not typically.
Right, yeah. So,
you know, what is it they say? Nothing new under the sun, right? I mean,
right.
All this stuff has been learned before. We think we're so smart. What we actually are is we've forgotten so much that it's time to learn a lot of things that our ancestors knew. We need to learn them all over again, you know?
Yeah, Plato said that all knowledge is already deep within us, so no one can really teach us anything new.
Amazing.